All right, Scott, you're up, buddy. Scott was the second of his family to come to Juneau. His firstborn daughter, Bess, got here first, and a train of rangers has made their way here, and now his entire family calls Juneau home, with both grandkids being Bartlett babies. Scott has spent the last 17 summers taking folks whale watching, with Gastineau guiding and storytelling is what he does. Please welcome Scott Ranger.
When I first saw the topic, for some reason my crazy mind went to the lack of creature comforts. And this is a very intimidating place to talk about the lack of creature comforts, because this room is full of people who have had Alaska experience with the lack of creature comforts. But my story is a little bit different, because creature comforts can be all sorts of different things. And one of them is just feeling comfortable with familiarity. Well, my wife and I had an opportunity to head to Zambia in Africa. My wife ran the Habitat for Humanity Club at the high school that she taught at for 3 decades. And they had a special program that seniors had to do, a project. And one of her students in the Habitat Club asked her, "If I go someplace wild, will you go with me?" And her answer was instantly yes, because she knew, it's a teenager, they won't go anywhere. Well, Allie went to Habitat for Humanity, Global Village, and called leader after leader after leader if they would take a group of teenagers on a Habitat trip someplace in the world. Finally, Lynn Twitchell in Maine says yes, and we go to Zambia. Annette didn't even know where Zambia was. The only thing I knew was the former Northern Rhodesia, and the capital was Lusaka, but that was it. So we get on a great big plane and fly all the way to Africa, and we land in Lusaka, and boy, you're not in Kansas anymore. We, like here in Juneau, sometimes you have to walk out of the airplane on stairs that they wheel up to the plane, because this was a cosmopolitan city, but it was definitely not what we were used to. Well, Mutinta met us there and took us to our guest house in Lusaka, where we had a little orientation to what we were going to expect on a 2-week build. And I vividly remember her telling us some words that we might want to know in the language of Bemba. And one of them was Musungu. It literally means European, but it no longer means that. It's now a word used all over Southern Africa that simply describes white people. Now, as soon as we get off the airplane, we are in Black Africa. Now, we left Atlanta, Georgia, which is a fairly black city. But holy smokes, we get to Lusaka, and we are surrounded by black skin. And I hear this word, Musungu, and I just knew it meant, "You white honky, you." Well, we get to our village, way out of the tourist areas of Africa, and we're building. And on one trip, our daughter was with us, and she got so tired of not having the internet. And we went into the closest town in Dola, and that was a little bit of an adventure. And the bus dropped us off, and we walked to an internet cafe, and that was back when it went, that really slow dial-up stuff. And we happened to walk by a house where there were 2 little itty-bitty girls playing with their mud dolls. Literally mud dolls. They were probably 4 or 5 years old. Now, my daughter is red-haired and even fairer skinned than me. And here we are, 2 really white Musungu. And we're walking by these 2 little girls. And they look up at us and they say, "Mulishani Musungu," which literally means "blessed day to you, white person." And I felt in my heart, this was just an adjective. It bore no meaning that I was pouring into it. And I felt instantly more at home in a land that was so different than anything I've experienced. Well, the girl that got us there, after working a good many of hours of the day, we had time to play, and there were kids everywhere. And Allie and a bunch of us were with these little kids, and I love playing with the kids. And one of the little girls comes up with a couple of guinea pigs. And I don't know what came into Allie's mind to ask this question, but she asks the little girl, "Do you eat them?" And the little girl has this aghast look. "No, do you?" We're not in Kansas anymore. And that taught me something. We really bring a whole lot of crap in our brains when we travel other places, that you just listen to little kids and they will teach you a whole lot. And it's just astonishing to find out that you can be so far away from home in a place where you're sleeping in on a floor that's not concrete because you made it down by packing dirt and then pouring cement on it and then wetting it down. And that's what we slept on, and we ate what they ate, and we did exactly what they did. And one day we went to the store, and I think it was our fourth trip. And so we'd been to the village previous times, and we walked to the little village store, which is nothing other than sticks put together, lashed with piles of beans and dried fish. And the weirdest thing is all those bugs that they dried to eat bugs. And as we're going to the store, I start hearing yelling, "It's Mr. Scoat! It's Mr. Scoat! It's Mr. Scoat!" Because in Bemba, they don't speak Scott. Always Scoat. And I get into the town, and I developed a reputation of high-fiving. And about 500 kids walk up to me, and my hand was so red. It was so incredible to do that. I walk into essentially the Don Abel of Ndola, Zambia, handyman's paradise. And I walk down to the back room. We needed some tools. And the man standing, this is in Zambia, 14,000 miles away. And this man says, "Oh, it's the Habitat man. You get discount." And I had no idea that far away from home would be home. But the one thing that happened, our red-haired daughter, we're playing with the kids. It's really sunny there. And she started putting on sunscreen. One of the little girls asked her, "Is that why your skin is white?" We're not in Kansas anymore.